Hey, Calvary Chapel, good morning, and God bless you guys. We are obviously coming to you from Israel. And listen, it's Palm Sunday. It's April 5th, and I want you to grab your Bibles right now, if you would. And please, in advance, forgive me for the sunglasses. It's just so beautiful. It is so bright and a glorious morning. But if you grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 19, we are going to pick up where we left off last time together as we march through Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. We'll be in verse 28 today, which records the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem on this, what is called Palm Sunday. Of course, the message is entitled, When Hope Arrives. When Hope Arrives. And so as you're turning there, we're looking at verse 28, and we'll go down to verse 42. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called Olivet, just to your right, over my shoulder, that he said to his disciples, two of them, go into a village opposite you, where as you will enter in, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. So those who went on their way found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And with that, they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus upon him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And when, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, just to your right, over my shoulder, as he drew near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And this is what they said. Verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Amazing. And glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd and said, Teacher, Rabbi, make your disciples to be quiet. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, that if these should keep silent, these very stones would immediately cry out. Verse 41, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had only known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. O Calvary Chapel Church, listen up carefully. I am in the valley of Kidron. This is also known as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The Bible talks about this valley someday being the ultimate place of judgment when Christ returns in the second coming. The Bible says he'll come from the Mount of Olives, right over the top of this valley, to the Temple Mount, which is behind you. I'm pointing to it right now. The Bible says that when Christ comes in the second coming, he will return. And in Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says he will separate the nations there. Bible says that he will judge the world. And you say, well, Jack, I thought you said this is a message about when hope arrives. Oh, it is. Listen very carefully. When Jesus Christ, nearly 2,000 years ago, came to this site, check it out. He would have come over the Mount of Olives, across this way, down through the Kidron Valley. Do you see this area behind me? These are ancient tombs. These tombs and these cutouts out of the bedrock. These very stones, these very tombs, were areas where wealthy, prominent Jews were buried. Jesus saw these very things that you're seeing. I'm not suggesting that they're like things Jesus saw. I'm not saying to you this morning it's kind of close to what Jesus saw. Calvary Chapel, this is what Jesus saw. Why is that important? How is it that hope arrives on this morning, on Palm Sunday? Because, my friends, check it out. When Jesus came across and went through this valley up to the Temple Mount, during this Passover week of history, Josephus tells us that sacrificial lambs were being offered up for the forgiveness of sins. Every family would have their lamb. And that little innocent, spotless lamb would be offered up for the sins of that particular family. It was Passover week. When Jesus began to weep from this side, right? Looking over to this side, he began to weep because predominantly, the religious Jews, certainly, did not know their scriptures. They had the opportunity to know their Old Testament. And with everybody cheering and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, why would Jesus weep? He began to weep because he said, today was your day of visitation, and you didn't recognize it. You missed it. When hope arrives, my friend, don't miss it. Maybe there's things going on in your life, things that have transpired for you to come on this Palm Sunday. And the great challenge for you today is, are you going to miss this day of hope? Will Jesus continue to weep over your heart for not recognizing him? You see, this is amazing because on this day in history, it was April 6th, 32 AD, it was 173,880 days from a commandment that was given to Nehemiah way back in the book of Nehemiah. King Artaxerxes gave a decree to Nehemiah that he could go and rebuild the streets of Jerusalem and the gates or the walls of Jerusalem. That was in 445 BC. From March 14th, 445 BC to April 6th, 32 AD was 173,880 days. The Bible foretold that in the book of Daniel. You can read it later in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. God gave the specific timing of when the Messiah would arrive to Jerusalem. Every Bible-reading Jew should have known that. And Jesus expected them to know that. But he began to weep because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. They didn't recognize, if you would, our graphic for this week is a young man standing at a metro stop waiting for the metro train to arrive so he can get in it to go somewhere. My friend, when Jesus came on that day, he was looking for people to put their hope, faith, and trust in all of the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures of what promised of his coming, that they, by holding open their word and judging the day of what Christ was fulfilling, could have, with their intellect, with Bibles open, they would have been able to recognize and to announce to others, to their friends and family, this is the day. This is the day that the Messiah comes. They could have woken up that morning and said, you know what? I'm going to go meet the Messiah. Maybe you can do that today. Well, I know you can. The question is, will you do that today? So on this awesome day, I want to lay this challenge before you. Why are we not on the Mount of Olives, maybe, where he rode down? Why are we not on the Temple Mount? Why are we in a valley? The Kidron Valley, the Valley of Judgment. Why are we here? The Valley of Jehoshaphat. Because the truth is, on one side, the temple, with all of the religious trappings, with all of its glory, with all of its incredible liturgical things that announced that this must be the way to God. On the other side, a humble carpenter rabbi, fulfilling scripture, yes, but humble Jesus, meek, riding on a little colt, the foal of a donkey, exactly as Zechariah chapter 9 said he would. What's the difference? In this valley that we're standing in, this is the valley, in my opinion, between life and death. If you recognize who Jesus Christ is, you understand that before he ever got to the temple, before he ever was crucified, north of here, to your left, up Moriah, over here, Golgotha, the place called Calvary, before that ever took place, life was happening here by faith in Christ. When they laid down their robes and the palm branches, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Today, will you open up your heart? And will you today say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. But this message isn't only about salvation. You can put your hope and faith and trust in Christ. I want you to do that. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, there's an awesome statement. The book of Hebrews tells us, Paul speaking to the Jewish people, he said, let us leave off of these things. Let's leave them. And he gives a list. the Word of God, having studied it to salvation, the laying on of hands, baptism, circumcision, those things. He says, let's leave them and move on. Now listen, if you read it carefully, he even mentions there regarding the doctrine of Christ. See, Jack, is he saying leave off the Bible and go to something else? Oh, no, no. It's an awesome word. To leave those things doesn't mean to abandon them. The word means to leave them just like this and take it from Jesus the carpenter, the Word of God. Remember, when you read the Word of God, you're looking into the heart, into the face of the carpenter Christ, Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. When the Word says, let's leave these things in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, it's the exact same word used that when a contractor is going to build a great building, he lays a foundation first, and then he puts the building, first floor, second floor, third floor, atop what? The foundation. A contractor leaves the foundation because the foundation is already settled. And they begin to now to build on the foundational truths. Christian, today I want you to consider your walk with Christ to go deeper than it's ever gone before. That's a decision you need to make. In this valley right here is a valley that you must decide to go on with Christ, to continue on, leaving the foundations behind. The foundation you have already been given. I have told you for years that you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you need to trust Him and Him alone, that you're to read the Word of God, that you're to obey the Word of God. These are fundamental. These are the foundations that we build on. But now let's move on to the deeper things, the stronger things. Meaning what? Now that the foundation is laid, how does God want to use you in this life? Have you decided today from this moment on to say, I am no longer going to be vandalized and victimized by the disparaging news of this world and all the ups and downs of this emotional life that I have? I am going to build my life upon the foundation of the Word of God, salvation in Jesus Christ, and I am now going to reach for the heavens, as it were, to, as it were, if possible, to grab the robe of God and to enter into the deeper things, meaning things that Christ would have you personally employ your life to, walking more closely to Him than ever before. In this valley is the valley of separation. When Jesus went across this valley up to that top of that Temple Mount, that week He was hailed as a king. By the end of the week, He was rejected. And the very truth of the matter is, where are you in this story? What will this valley do in your life? Right now, every person has a valley in their life, even the believer today. You may say, well, I believe and I have faith. That's fantastic. But are you hoping and trusting in God? Do you have that absolute assurance? And if you do, then what are you doing building upon that? Christian, listen, church, the worst thing that you could ever do is say that you've been a Christian for 20 years with 1 year experience. No, I want to be a Christian of 20 years with 20, 25, 30 years experience. I want to leave off from the foundation, and I want to grow along with Christ in a more dynamic and powerful way. So as we consider these things, hope arrives when you understand that when Jesus came, that was not bad news that He began to weep. I mean, it was sad that the Jewish people predominantly didn't receive Him. But as He passed through this valley, as He passed through the valley of decision, and went up to that mountaintop, He went there for the sacrifice for our sins. And it's through suffering, Christian, that we understand more and more of Jesus. Those are deep things. It's through walking with Him, even through difficult times like this. It's not going to be a rose-strewn path of ease if you decide to follow Christ. And I'm talking to the Christian this morning. Are you somebody that's enjoying your salvation, but you've been stunted in your growth all your life? It's time to move on. And this valley, amazingly enough, only 2 miles long, only an eighth of a mile wide. This valley is a valley of absolute separation. What looked like life and all the religious trappings and all the religious garb was dead. What didn't look like life, and a little donkey and a humble shepherd Carpenter King coming. That was life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I encourage you to make that decision today. You know, Josephus tells us that when the sacrifices of the lambs were made on that week in history, this valley, as the brook flowed through here, behind where you're sitting, behind you, that area filled with blood coming down from the temple, the lamb's blood turned that creek bed red with blood. On that same week, outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the Lamb of God was there offered up. But my friend, here's what I want to leave you on this Palm Sunday, one of the most exciting days that we celebrate in the entire year. It's more than salvation. Jesus is saying, Christians, follow me. Grow with me. Take this word to the world. Here we are 2,000 years later, and in less than 100 years from when Jesus was crucified, think of it, the gospel reached the entire known world in less than 100 years. Now, 2,000 years later, we're kind of holding ourselves back. We tiptoe around town. We whisper the gospel. We're shy about it. We shouldn't be. 2,000 years later, the whole world should know. Because in this valley of decision, the Lamb of God passed through this place to the great offering on top of the Temple Mount. He presented himself there. He was rejected, as you know. His trial was held. He was beaten, carried his cross to Golgotha. And there he died on the cross for you and I. Very, very important, church, that you understand that. The scriptures teach us that we now need to leave the fundamentals behind and move on to a deeper walk with God. And that's my challenge for you. As we are here on tour, April 5th, Sunday morning, you're there in Calvary Chapel. It is our prayer. It's the prayer that I have for you each and every day, that you would grow deeper and stronger in the things of God. I'm going to ask you today that you would make a pledge to the Lord. Not that you can exactly keep it. We intend to, but we're so weak. But we can say, Lord, please, I want to grow deeper now. I want to grow deeper in my walk with you. I want to know you like I've never known you before. I'm going to ask you today, Christian, to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. To do the unpopular thing. And to stand for him when it's easy and when it's not easy. To take a stand for him in worship when things are difficult and when things are fine. To be a person today who says, I'm going to follow him through this valley and up even to the cross if need be. I'm going to follow him. That is going on to the deeper things. To open up this Word of God and not just do your daily Bible reading, but to consume it. To eat it up. To make it the fiber of your life. It's the only way that we're going to make it through these times. God has given us everything that we need. And I'm asking you today that if you would consider that on this day, what Christ wants to bring you, when hope arrives, listen, expectation arrives. You can get excited. And you can get excited because God has laid the foundation of what you're standing on, what your faith is based upon. You can not only have that amazing expectation, but you can have victory, knowing that God, who keeps his word, with everything that he speaks to you about in this Bible, he will fulfill in your life. Christian, you must believe this. If you choose not to believe this, then you never make it across the valley. You only come halfway down. You're willing to say, Jesus, Hosanna, save now, but you're not willing to go any further. And I'm asking you today, Christian, to make a commitment to go all the way with Christ. Go all the way with him. This valley to me is absolutely spectacular. It's not the normal place where you would have a triumphal entry service. But it's what I've chosen today because in the valley of decision, in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley where God judges, this is not only a tremendous place of history past regarding the kings of Israel and great wars and battles. It's not only where Jesus Christ came as we've been talking about, but as I mentioned in the beginning, this is the place where Jesus, right on top of this mountaintop when he comes in the second coming. The scripture says he will separate the nations right here in this place. It is amazing to think. And by the way, you follow this valley all the way through, hang a right-hand turn, and head north, and it goes right up through into the Jezreel Valley, right up toward into Megiddo, Armageddon. All of this incredible valley here is speaking to us, a valley of decision. Will you today decide to follow Jesus Christ like never before? In a moment, I'm going to have Amir speak to you. But before I do, I want to pray with you right now. Father, I ask you right now as a church and as a body of believers that we would make a decision today on this Palm Sunday to be very keenly aware of the fact that your word is so clear, you leave no detail available to us. You leave everything for us, like a parent leaving behind little trinkets and little blessings along the way. Lord, you want everything to be available. But you have said in your word that we need to search these things out. And I pray this morning for every believer in the house right now that we would pick up the word of God and read it like never before. To study it, Lord. To look for you. And to know that when we open up your word, we are looking into the face of God and you speak to us. May we immerse ourselves in your truth. And this morning, perhaps, if there's any of you today that do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, imagine for a moment Jesus is now saying to you today, April 5th, on this Sunday morning, I want to bring you hope. Open up the doors of your heart and let me in. I love you. I went to the cross for you. I rose again from the dead for you. And if you put your faith and trust in me, Jesus said, you will have eternal life. Listen, Amir is going to speak to us for a little bit, and then I'll come back and wrap things up. But I tell you, welcome to Israel. Welcome to Palm Sunday, April 5th, right here today. God bless you.
Well, here we are, standing right in the depth of one of the most important valleys on planet Earth. The Kidron Valley has several other names, as you already heard. The Valley of Jehoshaphat, which means God's judgment, and the Valley of the King. And it's very interesting. We are right now standing next to the tomb of Prophet Zechariah. We saw other tombs of another priestly, very wealthy Jewish family. And further in the way, there is a tomb that tradition ties to Absalom, the rebellious son of David. But altogether, we're speaking of one of the most important places in Jerusalem's territory, although I must confess we are outside of Jerusalem of those days. The walls of the city would be right in front of me with some gates. And Jesus, in order to get into Jerusalem and out of Jerusalem every day, had to cross this valley again at least twice a day in every visit that he paid to this city. Jesus never stayed overnight in Jerusalem except on the night he was betrayed. And that, of course, took place after he crossed the Kidron even that night in order to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he was led as a prisoner across the valley all the way up and was tried by the high priest and the Sanhedrin just before he was brought before Pontius Pilate. It's interesting because Jewish tradition says in Jewish Talmud that if Messiah is to come when the people are ready, then he will be riding a horse. If he will come when the people are not ready, then he probably will be riding a donkey. As we already heard, first of all, riding the donkey was a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, but also having the people not ready was also a fulfillment of prophecy. And he himself said, if you only knew the time of your visitation. It's quite awesome to think that right there next to Caesarea Philippi, one minute, Peter said, you're the Son of the living God, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. But just 2 minutes later, he rebuked Jesus for saying that he's about to go up to Jerusalem, he will be given to the hands of the priest, and he will have to die and resurrect from the dead. because it was an insult for Jesus, the thought that he will not have to die, that he will not have to come, that he will not have to enter this city for the last time, knowing exactly what he's going to have to endure, knowing the pain and suffering. He rode that donkey, which is, in a sense, a symbol of not a real triumphal entrance expected by most of the people. Obviously, riding a horse would be way nicer. But as we all know, people were probably not ready. He had to ride a donkey. He did fulfill a prophecy, and he did enter Jerusalem right through this valley. We're standing right in front of tons of rubble that surrounds the walls of Jerusalem, at least most of it that we see on the eastern side, where the eastern gate is. And we can only see with our very eyes today, in the year 2009, the remains of the embankments and those moats that were, and all those ramps that were built by the Roman soldiers 2,000 years ago. And this is the ultimate proof that Jesus, during his triumphal entrance, right when he stopped and wept over Jerusalem, could already see, about 38 years earlier, he could see what's going to happen to Jerusalem. He could see that his beautiful city and that amazing wall that was the height of 21-story building, that thing is going to be taken, covered, and eventually destroyed by the Romans. So we're here in the year 2009, and we still see evidences. We still see proofs that every word of Jesus 2,000 years ago is yes and amen. And if that's so, every promise that he has for you, indeed, even today, is yes and amen. I invite you to come to Israel to behold this very promise of God. And as the book of Psalms says, blessed is the one whose trust is in God, who sets his heart on a pilgrimage. God bless you.
Hey, church, we have got to edit this part in for you to listen to. While we were here filming the message that you just heard, we had an encounter. It was absolutely amazing. Amir's going to share about it, and we'll talk about it, but you need to be involved in on it. It's amazing. So Amir, tell them what just happened to us.
Well, while I was filming you, when we just started the message, I kept hearing from a distance, liar, liar, what you say is not true, you're a liar. And it kept getting louder and louder as the person got closer and closer to us. And as I was looking while filming, I could see an ultra-Orthodox Jew standing with that long beard and the black outfit, standing there.
A Pharisee.
Indeed, a modern Pharisee, no doubt. Shouting, apparently, the message that we had here, given by Pastor Jack, echoed through the Kidron Valley up to Mount Moriah, and that ultra-Orthodox heard it, and something bothered him with the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the answer, that his entrance was part of the will of God and a fulfillment of prophecy. So he decided that he's going to interrupt our message, that he's going to tell us that this is all one lie, one big lie. And I had to stop filming. I had to approach him. At first, I must say, I was a little bit aggressive. I thought, we're calling the police, we're getting out of here. But this man decided that he's going to stand here and stand on our way and not allow us to complete our filming. So it rolled into a discussion, and apparently, I think that was a display of the blindness of the Pharisaic, modern Pharisaic movement today, the ultra-Orthodox Jews today, in regards to the Word of God, and to the authority of the Word of God over anything else in their life. And I think it started in one way, but it ended up in a totally different way. So how did you take it?
Well, it was amazing because, first of all, we started to... He told us, as Amir just said, liars, you don't know what you're talking about. And he asked Amir, are you a Jew? Are you Jewish? And Amir said, yes, I'm Jewish. And then he turned to me and said, are you Jewish? And I said, no. And he said, well, you know what, you're nothing. And So he really ignored me completely and basically, or I don't know if it was basically, directly accused me of defiling the ground where we were standing because I was a Gentile. And I just kept quoting to him Old Testament scriptures. I kept challenging him about Zechariah chapter 9 and other scriptures and Joel and Amos and the book of Daniel. And I asked him, will you please read in my Old Testament here, please read Proverbs 30 verse 4 that proclaims that it's the Lord who holds everything in his fist and who has ascended and descended. And what is his name and what is the name of his son? If you can tell. And he didn't like that at all, and said that the word could not be understood unless it's read by a rabbi, that it was impossible for us to know the Bible and to make any sense of it whatsoever. And he was condemning everything that we were standing for in the Word of God, but then he tried to convince us of reincarnation. And he tried to tell us that King David is reincarnated and started to introduce all this New Age belief into his Orthodox Judaism, so to speak. It was absolutely amazing. So what happened was we began to continue, I guess, we just not didn't begin. We continued to defend Christ as Messiah from the Old Testament. I wish we would have kept the camera going for you all to watch this. But at the end of it, he said to me, or maybe to Amir first, I don't know the order of it, because they were speaking in Hebrew, then he would speak to me in English. But he said, you know what, what's your last name? And I said, Hibbs, it's a German last name. He says, you know, German, a lot of Jews, German connection. I think you have Jewish blood. I think you're okay after all. And I said, well, I don't know. And he goes, no, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that you, because you argue the Bible very well and you know the scriptures. And so I think you're Jewish.
And I like you.
And I like you, he said. I think you're Jewish and so I like you. Completely blind to the fact that, and I told him, I said, and he didn't like this very much, but I said, you know, my father was not a Gentile, excuse me, my father was not a Jew originally. My father was a pagan worshiping Chaldean from Ur of the Chaldees by the name of Abraham. And that didn't go over very well at first, but then I think he thought about it,
yes.
And the whole conversation began to change.
At first, he really thought your father's name is Abraham, and he's pagan. He was natural for him. But then he realized you're talking about Abraham, our father Abraham.
Yeah.
And that's when he didn't like that.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was amazing. So, but you know, we told him that Abraham was declared to be a friend of God before circumcision and before the law ever came. That's a radical thing to think about. A lot of Jews miss that. Well, here, listen, we're going to wrap this up, you guys. Wish you were here. It's just absolutely perfect. And but listen, today at the end of the service, as the worship group gets ready to come on out, you really need to make a decision for Jesus Christ. It is so great. You can open up the Bible, and you can stand in the place where God spoke about. You can't do that with anybody else's religion and anybody else's book. That's why I love to say that your faith is founded upon fact. So make a decision for Christ. And if you're going to do that today, at the end of the song, you can come forward and the pastors and the prayer elders will be with you right there to give you a Bible and to introduce you to Jesus, the Messiah, Savior of the world. And you need to do that now. Time's running out. And for all of you who are already believers, I'm asking you at this time to make a commitment, as I said earlier, to walk with him like never before. So church, God bless you, and we will see you on Wednesday. We'll be together back in Chino Hills in service together, and then, of course, Good Friday together in the main sanctuary, and I can't wait, as you cannot wait for, also Resurrection Sunday morning. So anyway, it's great to have our friend here, Amir, with us, and many of you know him. And I know many of you are feeling very homesick right now for Israel. But we'll talk to you when we get home. God bless you guys.
Bless
Shalom.
You.